our Christian life tried to please God by our own strength. I know I certainly have. And every single time I have failed, and having failed, how miserable do we feel? We feel like giving up, like it will never happen. It is not possible. And God knew our own inabilities. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we can live a life that fulfills the will and the purpose of God. You see, God wants us to have freedom in Christ, strength through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that we can sense the fulfillment of living a God-centered and God-purpose life. Freedom, strength, and purpose. And as we pray as Christians, our prayer needs to be this: Lord God, let your will be found in my life. Not my own will, but yours be done. When Jesus drew together the 12 who we call the 12 disciples, the Bible says that he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. Why? Because that is the will of God. That is the kingdom of God coming to earth. There are no demons in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. And God endued these people with the same power that Jesus had, that they would have the same authority over the forces of darkness, those forces which oppose the will of God, and over sickness. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I would say this today, my friends. If Jesus was here and he was commissioning you and I as his followers today, he would do exactly the same. He would not say to us, oh, I want you to just collect together as Christians and sing a few worship songs and pray a bit. No. Jesus would probably lay his hand on us and say, I give you all power and all authority over all demons, over all sickness. Now go. Go. You see, he says, come unto me if you're weary, if you're burdened down by your sin, if you cannot break free from the weight and the condemnation of sin, come to me. I will give you rest. As you repent of that sin, believe in me, I will give you rest. But he does not say, stay here. He says, go. Go and preach the kingdom of God. Go and tell the world what the kingdom of God is all about. And as we read through the four Gospels, and as we go on into the letters, particularly of Paul, we see that so many times we are told about the kingdom of God. At least over 100 times in the New Testament do we read about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of God. Of heaven. And today I want to answer some very, very simple questions, and you see them on your notes. The first point is this: I want to talk about those for whom it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. You see, we are not automatically members of God's kingdom. We have to enter. We have to take that forward step. We have to leave behind and we have to enter into the kingdom of God. But the Bible talks about those for whom it is very, very hard. Not impossible. Jesus said, what's impossible with men is possible with God. But he also said that there are those for whom it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus had been speaking to a rich young man. This man had come to him and had asked him what he should do. Jesus had said, are you keeping the law? The young man said, yes, I have done right from when I was a youth. Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. I want you to sell everything that you've got, and I want you to give it to the poor. And the Bible says that this young man went away from Jesus very sad. Jesus said, having spoken to the young man, he said to his disciples, it is very hard for one who trusts in his riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now be very careful here. Jesus did not say that rich people cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said it is very hard for those who trust in their riches, for those for whom life is all about gaining wealth. It is very hard. God is calling each one of us into his kingdom. It could be that God has been calling you for a long time, and you have found it hard to respond and to enter into that place where God reigns and rules in your life. It is possible that the reason for that is because riches, wealth, is very important to you. There's no easier way to say it, but it is true because Jesus said so. And I would say, my friend, if you are finding it difficult to enter into the kingdom of God, ask yourself this question today. Is it because I have put so much trust in my wealth and my riches? There are also those who will not enter the kingdom of God. Did you realize that Jesus spoke about those who will not enter the kingdom of God? You may say, I thought that the gospel was open to everyone. Amen. It is for whoever believes and receives Jesus as Savior and Lord. But the Bible is also very clear about those who will not enter the kingdom of God. Look at these verses from Galatians chapter 5. Read them from your notes with me. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these, Paul says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. My friends, those are sobering words. sobering because within the four walls of what we know or call as church today, within the lives of the people, of many people who consider themselves and call themselves followers of Jesus, in the lives of those same people, these things are taking place. If we had stopped at the beginning of the list, you may have been able to say to me, hey, Pastor, I am not sexually immoral. I am not impure. I do not desire lustful pleasures. I'm not bowing down to idols, and I'm not involved in sorcery. Sorcery means witchcraft, which means control and manipulation, just to let you know. But how about quarreling and jealousy and envy and anger, selfish ambition? Paul says, those for whom these things are evident in their lives will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I wish I could speak Korean. I really do. You say, well, Pastor, just go ahead and learn. Amen. I should. But I don't know how this translates in Korean. But in English, you speakers of English who speak much better than I do, is there any more simple way that Paul could speak these words? I know he spoke them in Hebrew, probably. But in our English translation, is it as clear as I think it is? Yeah? Does it translate clearly into Korean? Maybe some Koreans could nod or shake their heads at me. I think it does. I hope it does. Because this needs to be a very clear message to the church today. You cannot indulge yourself with activities that are familiar with the kingdom of darkness and consider yourself to be one that will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm just passing on to you what Paul says. I do happen to believe it with all of my heart. Jesus said on one occasion, you are either for me or you're against me. If we translate that into the terms of this scripture, Jesus would say, you are either following me and you mean it sincerely, and there is evidence of that in your life, or that change has not taken place yet. My friend, how can God live on the inside of us and we still think that we can accommodate, entertain the sins of darkness? Paul says, it isn't possible. It isn't possible. And whilst these words are quite hard, whilst they are very direct, my friends, they are words which the church needs to hear in order for us to make sure that we are right with God. There are those who will find it hard to enter the kingdom of God. There are those who will not because of their lifestyles. There are those who say they are in the kingdom, but they are not. Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven except he or she who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, a day when humanity stands in front of the Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I can imagine that as Jesus spoke these words, he became extremely sober. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I am so thankful, friends, that there is no gray area in God's word concerning these things. God has not left us wondering about what qualifies us to be someone who inherits the kingdom of God. He has left it so clear and so plain. He said in verse 21, it is those who know and do the will of my Father who will inherit the kingdom of God. What an awful thing it would be to have been so deceived, to think that having received Jesus as our Savior, we don't need to make him our Lord. We can live our lives in deception, in sin, and it will all be okay in the end. That's not what God says. And in his love, in his mercy, in his passion for us, he tells us these things. Not to condemn us, but to enable us to know that we know, that we know we are in the kingdom of God, not by our own works, but by his amazing grace. Amen. Let's talk about those who will enter the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus was in conversation with a man called Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at nighttime. He was a tad shy. Jesus said these words to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." One of the requirements for us to enter the kingdom of God is this, that we have experienced true spiritual rebirth. Jesus said, he talked about being born again, being born naturally. There's nobody here that hasn't been born naturally, but also being born spiritually, where our spirit comes alive to God. We were dead in our sin, but we have been made alive together in Christ Jesus, where through our repentance of sin and our receiving of Christ's salvation, God renews us. He makes us a new creation. He takes away everything that's of the old, and he makes us a brand new creation. Hallelujah. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. My goodness, I am so thankful that my past has gone. You don't want me to tell you about my past. In fact, I would struggle to, because it's gone. God has forgotten about it. Not because he has a bad memory, but because he chooses to. And if God chooses to, I choose to as well. Sometimes people will walk up to us and say, "I remember you. I know what you were like. You were a rotten old sinner." And maybe some people would like to try and remind you of some of those things that you got up to BC, before Christ. But I would say, stop them and say, "Excuse me, my friend, that's another person you're talking about. That person doesn't exist anymore, for Christ has made me a new creation. I have been born again." Maybe sometimes in times of depression, in times of disappointment and sadness, you find yourselves going back to what you used to be like, thinking about sometimes the pleasures of sinful living. You need to shut that door firmly and say, "That is gone. I have been born again." That person has died with Christ, been crucified with Christ, been buried in baptism, and a new person has been raised to newness of life that person has gone. This is a wonderful experience that God gives to every true believer. Those who will enter the kingdom of God. I want us to turn to Matthew 18 as we close here now. Some of Jesus' disciples, God bless them, just like you and me, they came to Jesus and said, "Master, which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And I can imagine that maybe they were vying for that position. They recognized that Jesus was going to be, you know, the head, the top, but maybe they wanted to be second place. And Jesus did a remarkable thing in his response. From somewhere in the crowd, he found a young, very young infant lad. And the Bible says that he set this young lad, this young, maybe just above a baby, a toddler, maybe 1, 2 years old. He took this child and he set the child in the midst of them. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, without doubt, I say to you, unless you are converted from your sinful ways to the ways of life, from the kingdom of darkness, which we looked at last week, into the kingdom of life, from death into life, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, "Unless you become as little children"? I've read a lot of different commentaries over the years about this. And some would even say that we need to be childish in our ways. And that's not consistent with Scripture, because the Scriptures tell us to grow up in faith, to become mature, to come into the full stature of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4. So Jesus did not mean become childish. Some have said that Jesus was referring to childlike faith. Childlike faith. Now, a child does express and demonstrate a level of trust that we wiser, and older people have lost. A child will trust, hopefully, in their parents. But that's not necessarily faith, because the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that faith is a gift of God. And faith is given initially so that we can receive Christ for salvation and to become Lord and Master. Children are not necessarily born with faith. Maybe children have an element of trust built into them that this world squeezes out as they get older. Some have said that we should be childlike because a child is innocent. A child is not innocent. A child is born in sin, shapen in iniquity. I make reference to Pastor Jack's sermon on the unreached. Just as an unreached person, someone who has never heard the gospel, is not innocent, neither are your little beautiful children. They're born in sin. So what does Jesus mean? I believe that there is something of a clue in his next statement. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Humility is obedience. That's all it is. I believe that what Jesus was referring to was that he wants us to become like little children in our dependency upon God. When we are not humble but prideful, the Bible says God resists the proud. but he gives grace to the humble. When we are prideful, we are independent. I don't need you, God. I can do life quite well without you. In fact, I look at people who say they follow you and their lives are far worse than mine. Bye-bye. We become very independent of God. God says, when you look at a child is so, and it was an infant, so dependent. As you know, I have a new granddaughter who's March, April, May, 3 months old or thereabouts. She is so dependent on her parents, on those around her, for everything. That is how we need to be concerning God. Utterly and totally dependent upon him. Childlike. When you're dependent upon God, you're automatically obedient to him. And unless we become like children, unless we become dependent on God and not ourselves, Jesus said, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who make themselves dependent upon God. Let me take you back quickly to Matthew 7 and verse 21. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven, they are the ones that will inherit the kingdom of God. What is the evidence? What is the evidence that we are living in the kingdom of God? In Romans chapter 14, there is conversation there about material and practical things of life. And here in Romans 14, Paul says that the kingdom of God is not to do with food and drink, to do with natural things. The kingdom of God, my friends, is a spiritual kingdom. It dictates to the natural. The kingdom of God is to influence the kingdom of this earth. In fact, if you read in Revelation, and we may well look at this next week, there'll be a statement that's made sometime in the future when the people of God are standing before the throne, and this will be the statement, the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our King. You see, the spiritual dynamics of the kingdom of God are to influence the kingdoms, the natural kingdoms of this earth. That's why Jesus empowered his disciples to go and cast out demons and to heal the sick as they preached the kingdom. My friends, as Christians, we have that same potential. The kingdom of God is not about food and drink, but about righteousness, joy, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That can be, the experience of every child living in God's kingdom. That beautiful right standing before God, to be at peace with God, and to have his joy flooding through our hearts. So many people say to me, but Pastor, it is so difficult to live the way God wants us to. Yes, it is when we try to do it ourselves. But when we become like little children and we become dependent upon God, reliant upon the strength of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, Pastor? It means when you are in that place of temptation and you are one breath away from saying something you know you shouldn't. Your finger is one press away from clicking that computer key that you know you shouldn't. That your thoughts are one thought away from a sinful way of thinking that will lead you to death and disaster. That's when you cry out to the Holy Spirit, God, help me. And he will. Absolutely guaranteed. When we become like little children. I can remember my children saying to me so many times, Daddy, help me. One of our daughters was in a swimming pool way out of her depth and almost drowned. Daddy, help me. One of my grandsons was on a webcam with me once. It was Hudson here in Korea, and I was in England. And he brought one of his toys to the webcam and says, "Granddad, help me fix it." But isn't that a beautiful illustration of trust, of dependency? Now he doesn't need me to fix them. I go to him and say, "Hudson, help me with this computer, please. Help me with this program. Help me with Skype." He says, "Oh, Granddad." But we need that dependency. If we will depend upon him, he will show himself 100% of the time to be faithful to his word. Oh, what a joy it is to live in the kingdom of God. Do you agree with that? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together, please. We're going to worship and give God all the glory that's due to him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it so clearly. Father, so often we try to do things in our own strength. We become independent. We feel like we don't need any help. But God, the truth is this. We need all the help we can get from you. God, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would move through our hearts, each one of us. And just help us to be honest before you. Help us to become open and honest about our need that we have of you. Those areas of life where we struggle. Maybe nobody else knows about them. Maybe we feel it doesn't really affect anybody else. Maybe we feel it's not really affecting me. But God, it's affecting our relationship with you. And when we harbor these things, we're saying, "God, I don't need you in this." But God, the truth is we need you so much. Help us to become childlike, dependent. Help us to look to you for everything that we have need of, God. Father, if we need to forgive somebody and we just can't find it in our hearts to do that, let us be humble enough to fall to our knees and say, "God, please help me." If we need to let our past go, but we keep hold of it in some strange, twisted way, God, help us to call out to you and say, "God, help me to let go of it." Father, I pray especially for people here this morning who feel that they have come to you maybe more than once and ask you to help, but sense in their heart that you have not done that. Father, I don't know all the answers to these issues, but what I do know is that you are unable to lie. It's not possible for you to speak anything but the truth. And you have said to those that call out, call upon your name, that you will become their God, that you will help us in a time of need. That's why we have access to your throne of grace. I want to ask you this morning, if that's an illustration of you where you feel you've asked God so many times and you just feel he hasn't answered, I want you to put your hand on your heart. And just in your own heart, just cry out to God and say, "God, I need you so much. I'm so sorry when I've tried to do it on myself and mix it with you. It doesn't work. And I lay before you all my disappointments and all the feelings that I have. And God, I cry out to you for help. I'm coming to you like a child. Put my dependency, my trust, my faith in you." Father, just minister to each of our hearts right now, I pray. meet us exactly where each of us are individually. Speak to us. Draw us ever closer to you. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Show us that you have empowered us by your Holy Spirit to live according to your kingdom. In Jesus' name.